Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. If you're giving, continue to do so. If you are sowing the seed online, continue to do so. God is going to get his work done no matter what. No matter what. Keep your word, people of God. In this season, you got to keep your word. You got to do what you said that you were going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, a text grabbed from out of what is widely known as the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. We touched on the beginning part of that verse last particular week. So at this moment in time, let's go ahead and visit verse 6. It says in verse 6, and says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." One translation says, "those who diligently seek him." I'm going to repeat this again because you need to hear this. It's very important this particular morning. All right? "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is real, he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him." From the subject today, continuing on with our Faith Forward series, part two, from faith to faith, from faith to faith. When you look at that graphic on the screen, thank you, my brother, when you look at the graphic on the screen, it really tells you how deep we really need to go in regards to the things of God. So we talk about faith, we're talking about all of that that is a part of it. I was reading, just to give you a preview of even next week's topic, there was one particular section of the scripture where it talked about little faith, or O ye of little faith. And when I looked at the phrase, "oh, you little faith," it kind of jumped out at me. And basically what it was saying is that this is the type of faith that is of a low quality. It kind of hit me. I was like, a low quality? The type of faith or type of belief that is of low quality. Something that has a very minute amount. "Oh, ye of little faith." Lack of quality. And I'm like, okay, so when I think about myself, when I think about the people of God, do we have high quality faith or low quality faith at this hour? Just something to consider. So even as we move forward on today, we did set the stage last week in regards to building our faith as children of the Most High God. I was encouraged by the results even from just last week alone, that came from members as well as online guests as a result of the message. I heard about testimonies. People were sowing seeds, strangers from the community that were happening or coming in the mail. Things that were just so unexpected, just from us increasing our faith just from 1 to 2. But we need to get to 10. Because I think we got the foundational pieces, but now we need to increase that. And so I heard about those testimonies. Some of them were posted in online messages, some of them were not. But anytime things like this begin to break open, the enemy always starts to rear his ugly head to try to make you doubt God and to try to make you decrease your faith. Nevertheless, there was a shift in the spiritual realm. I felt it. I sensed it. And God put icing on the cake by allowing for those blessings to manifest. Just after just 1 week of hearing the word. Because remember, the scripture says faith comes by hearing. Not by watching for 5 minutes online. Not by reading a devotional just for 2 seconds and moving on. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing is more than just audible noises coming into your ear, but it actually means to process the information once it hits your ears. Another word for hearing is to understand. Faith comes by understanding the word of God and applying it to your life, not just another church service. So, people of God, can you sense an increase in spiritual activity? I didn't say it was all good. I just said, do you sense an increase in spiritual activity? That means even when hell is all breaking loose as well, that's an increase in spiritual activity. I was kind of trying to give this explanation to my son last night about how doors can be opened to different places in one's lives, and the world is not just everything that you see tangible only. There is another world that is also invisible that has great impact and great influence in our lives. It's so important for us to understand that. So can you sense the increase in spiritual activity by God and the enemy? I do. This lets me know that we are close, very close to witnessing the true intent of this ministry and the people who are a part of it. But it all has to come by faith. And from faith to faith, as it says in the Word of God. So what does it mean to go from faith to faith? I looked at the phrase itself. And the question that comes to my mind is that, are there levels to this? You know how like the young people that say, there's levels to this. There's levels to this. But what I'm feeling, and I'm kind of pulling a note from the video game world, you ever play video games, you get to that boss level? that boss level where you're playing Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers. You still play that, Pastor Martin? I'm just going back to my era, y'all. And you get the King Bowser or whatever that particular large monster is at the very end. You don't get the prize until you beat that thing. And in this season, you can't overcome that unless it's by faith. Because the enemy that we're facing is not a physical one, it is a spiritual one. So how do you fight a spiritual enemy when you have been known in the streets to have hands? Or when you've been known in the neighborhood to have a razor-sharp mouth? What do you do when neither one of those things is going to work against this thing that you're getting ready to face? And you will face it, because there's levels to this. There's levels to this. So are there levels to faith? Yes, from faith to faith. Every person is given a measure of faith, but that measure of faith does not have to stay the same. Because the scripture says we can increase our faith, but you got to hear certain things a certain way. You have to walk different. You have to talk different. You have to see the world through a different set of lenses. So Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it gives more credence to the truth that there are levels to this. And it says in verse 17, For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. For faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. The truth is, faith, it goes against human nature. This type of message, this journey that we're embarking upon, is going to aggravate people who are used to complaining and being negative. It's going to be rough. Because by nature, we really do not like to believe God. We got to see it in order to believe it. I hope everybody's paying attention here. Hopefully everybody's phones are away. Hopefully you're listening right now, because this is very important. True faith goes against human nature, or rather the flesh. It takes practice to trust in something that sits outside of the five senses. I'm trying to help somebody this morning, especially when those senses yell loudly in the opposite direction. This problem looks too big, but God said you can move mountains by faith. All right, I'm also reminded, I loved visiting the babies with Lady Martin at our daycare, and one of the things that they like to sing is the Bear Hunt song. the bear hunt song. And sometimes when we have a bear of a situation, it kind of reminds me of the mountain that's right before us. And it kind of gives this whole tune that goes along with the song. It says, you can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go through it. I'm so scared. Wee, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And all the kids are running around. But the funny thing about it is that the bear isn't actually there. It's a perception. It's a mountain. Now, it's real to you, but to God, it's small. Problem looks too big. So if you can't go over it, you can't go under it, and in my version, you can't even go through it, that means that God's got to move it. I'm going to say it again. If you can't go over the mountain and you can't go under it, then you got to go to a position where God has to move it. He has to move it. And you can't be scared. I do not want a church filled with Sunday morning champions and scaredy cats through the week. Scaredy cat, scaredy cat. They used to say that all the time when we were going up. You a scaredy cat. Every time something, as soon as you jump, everything scares you. Be no scaredy cat, not in the kingdom, not if you want to do great things. Well, what about if the situation doesn't look too big? Okay, you got that. What about those of you that have sensitive hearing? What happens if the situation doesn't sound right? It sounds scary. It sounds like it's intimidating. But God said, my sheep know my voice. Have you ever heard some bad news? Have you ever heard of a bad report? Bad report? Well, it looks to me, sir, that it's time for you to understand the fact that we have to part ways. I want you to understand, ma'am, that these particular papers, you've been served with papers, and you're getting ready to be sued. I want you to understand, sir or ma'am, that we have no more room for you. And your skills are outdated. So you either have to go to school, or sign up, or we're going to have to let you go. Bad reports. But whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. It doesn't sound right, but faith comes by hearing. So which one is in your ear? Is it the enemy or is it God? Which one is it going to be? You want things to change, but you tolerate things. How can I work with that? God's like, give me something to work with here. Give me something, but I just don't think that I can make it. I know I don't even understand. All of these obstacles are in my way, and my life isn't in your hands. That's how we carry ourselves, and our life is a reflection of what we believe. Looks bad. It sounds bad. How about this? This circumstance left a bitter taste in my mouth going through these senses, right? But God said, I want you to do this. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, how can you taste a spirit? How you taste a spirit? This is what we would call a paradox. On the surface, it looks confusing, but there's a deeper truth to it. How you can taste God? If he's a spirit and we're human, but the Bible says that you can eat the word. You eat the word. That's what Isaiah was going through. He says, I got this bitter word that's inside of my stomach, the scrolls that I have consumed. Excuse me, John said that. In the book of Revelation, it says, I consumed this word, and it went in my mouth, and it was as sweet as a honeycomb, but when it got into my stomach, it was bitter. That's exactly what preaching and teaching is. It may sound, it may sound good to your ears initially, but then when you get to the house, I got to make some changes. I don't want to make them type of changes. I just want to complain. I don't want to change. I want God to bless me in my mess. See, we love that. We love that. We want God to do everything without us moving. But the Bible says we walk by faith and we stand on faith and not by sight. But if you're full of the flesh, this is going to be a rough go. So what is the next thing? Well, what happens if you're in a different situation? Feelings, you know, the sense of touch, right? Well, sometimes our faith is shaken because a person's actions make us feel worthless. But God said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. See, there's what the enemy says and there's what God says. There's what your flesh says and there's what God says. This is what your senses say and there's what God says. I know what it looks like. I know what it sounds like. I know what it smells like. It stinks to high heaven. Oh, that goes to my next one. This whole situation smells foul and stinks to high heaven. It smells like crap. I'm in a crappy situation. It stinks. But God said to consider the lily. You know how you look at a lily, look at a flower that's right there on the riverside, on the side of the road. I remember oftentimes when my wife and I would go visit relatives in Inverness, and I would just be so amazed at all of the little dandelions and lilies that would be on the side of the road. And I would just look at them. Sometimes they were purple, other times they were yellow, and the other times they were white. And I was just so amazed at that. And the other thing that came to my mind is the scripture where Jesus said, you know, why should you worry about what you should eat or drink? Consider the lily and how it neither toils nor struggles to be exactly what it is. O ye of low quality of belief. O ye of little faith. That's the translation there. So a flower does not struggle to be who it is because it understands its identity. It understands its identity. So why in the world do we struggle with ours when God has already given us our identity? We struggle because the enemy is trying to convolute it. He's trying to make us confused about who we really are in Christ Jesus. Disciples said to Jesus, increase our faith. Well, here it is. I want to increase your faith. So the lily does not change what it is. It just gives off. It doesn't struggle in that particular area. It gives off a beautiful fragrance. And God said in his word that you are actually better than that. You're better than the flower. You got more going on. Because the verse goes on to say that it's once thrown into the fire and it's gone away like a vapor. Erased, forgotten. All I have is a memory of those lilies on the side of the road. But if I were to go back to that same spot, it's a whole new fresh set of lilies. The ones that I saw 5, 6, 7 years ago, they have already gone on and into the fire. The sun has dried them out, but new ones have come up in its place. And God says, you are better than that. You're better than that. I'm going to go to Song of Solomon, one of the most forbidden books of the Bible. And I'll show you how God in his word, when he looks at his children, he says that y'all smell like babies with baby oil and baby powder all mixed together. In Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse 6-8, it says, who is this sweeping in from the wilderness like a cloud of smoke? Lord, have mercy. Who is it? Fragrant with myrrh and frankincense and every kind of spice. Look, it's Solomon's carriage. This is a symbol and type. Surrounded by 60 heroic men. The women are a part of Solomon's carriage. The best of Israel's soldiers, they are skilled swordsmen, experienced warriors. Each wears a sword on his thigh, ready to defend the king against an attack in the night. So God, when he looks at us, in the symbol and the allegory of the scripture, he looks at us and he sees that there's men and women that are ready with the king at the forefront, and you smell good. I was just so amazed. I'd always like to talk about certain things with my sons, and I did it too, so I'll use me and then I'll go to them. So when I was coming up, my dad would have all of these colognes inside of his closet, all these different fragrances. He had the old school stuff like Old Spice, Brut. And then as he got we get in high school, my mom got him a package of cool water. Ebaba. Amen, somebody. And I would smell that stuff, and then my mom, she would, whenever he would wear some cologne, my mom would hug him just a little bit longer. And so I remember that, and I did the same thing. And we got two sons as a result of fragrances. And now they are now stealing my fragrances the same way. So when God looks at us, and when we believe in him, here it is. Believing and having faith in God is like you putting on perfume, like you putting on cologne. God, that smells good. You smell good to me because you believe in me. You put your faith and your trust in me. It's like you're putting on good cologne. Hallelujah. Versace cologne. Hallelujah. Chanel number 5, not number 4 from the flea market around the corner. Number 5. And it makes you feel good. It makes you want to do the silhouette challenge. Or the busted challenge. What is that anyway? Oh, okay. Never mind. Right. So the scripture says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. But the flesh says to walk by sight and not by faith. But there's something deeper here. There's something deeper here that I want to share with each and every one of you. In the preceding examples, you know, the taste, touch, sight, smell, sound, all of those different types of things, there's actually a common theme. God. God is actually the common theme. He is the object of focus and attention in all of this. Not ourselves. We're not the focus of this, people of God. It is him in which we should place our trust and belief in. He is the focus of attention. He is the one that is to take center stage, not us or our five senses. And that goes contrary to that. That's what being in the house of the Lord does. It helps you through the sanctification process, because many of us have problems with faith, and I'm going to reveal that in just a moment. We have a problem in believing in what we don't see. So you mean to tell me you're going to believe in God, you're going to go to church all of this time, and you're not going to have no expectations for nothing to change at all? Why are you wasting my time, God's time, and yours? You might as well just be a heathen. Go ahead and be ratchet and just go ahead and just let loose. At least you're keeping it real. What's more damaging than a hypocrite to another person's faith? I'm trying to do right, and here you are. You complain more than me. I got more faith than you. I got more faith that the dope man is going to be my plug right here at this specific time than you. You go to church all the time. You play in church. You sing in church. All of this stuff. And you have a low quality belief system. Excuse me, little faith. What are we doing here? Why are we wasting our time coming to a building every single week, giving and sowing for years and years and not expecting anything to happen? I'm so tired and weary. Are you? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? So the theme is God. He is the one that we should have our focus on. So let's consider the scripture again. Let's go right back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I feel my help coming on. My help coming on. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. So when I listen to this, I hear the song over the years. One of the benefits of living with a praise and worship leader is that you get to learn a whole lot of songs, a whole lot of songs. And one of the songs that jumps out at me is the one that says, you make me happy, you make me whole, you take the pain away, I'm so in love with you. Everything about you is right, you covered all my wrongs, your life saved my life, in you is where I belong. And so I hear that. And so what jumped out at me is that in order to please him, we have to have an attitude like that. The very first part of that verse says, you make me happy, you make me whole, you take the pain away, I'm so in love with you. And then I took those same words and I put them in God's mouth. And it says, when you believe in him, he says, you make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You make me happy when you believe in me. You make me whole because we feel like we're a family now. You take the pain. In other words, I have children that are scattered and abandoned and won't even talk to me. But when you believe in me, we have constant communication. God does not want estranged children. He does not want to have orphans. That's why we preach the gospel Sunday after Sunday over and over again to let you know that you are not alone. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. It may feel like you're by yourself, but you are not by yourself. So let's consider the verse once again. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So the very first step when I look at this verse, and it might be elementary. I know this may be elementary. Especially when it comes to having great faith, is having a healthy and robust view of God. So in order for you to have faith, Sister Jordan, you got to believe that God exists. That's it. That's all. If you do not believe that God exists, then we're dead in the water. We're dead in the water. I believe in a higher power. What is that? I believe in the universe. Well, what is that? What's my number one zodiac sign? Virgo. Is it Cancer? Is it Leo? It's your birthday. Lady Martin kind of held her breath right then, but it's all right. Those are, oh, can I leave that one alone? So the universe can't give you your identity. Just think about it just for a moment. I'm going to just dive into your brain just for a minute. How in the world are you going to get an identity from horoscopes and things of that nature when it doesn't even speak to you? Those are dead things. They don't answer prayers. Well, I'm dating one right now. I'm dating a Sagittarius, and you know they are, ooh. A Pisces, ooh. Moody, Geminis, Clam, Cancers. I wouldn't want to be called something that's called a Cancer because a Cancer eats away at you. Wouldn't want to be called a fish because if I go up underwater, I'm going to drown. I want to be called a bull because that means you end up on somebody's table. Welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God and love people. I know you got the tattoo, but God forgave you. Just move on. So you got to believe God is real, an impersonal universe that's cold. And I'm amazed by even with Sister Winsley about how she works around shuttles and the astronauts and going into outer space and SpaceX and Elon Musk is doing his thing, all the stuff that's going on right now. And the thing about it is that if we go into outer space in our current condition, we'll die. But when we come in the presence of God, we are alive. If we go in our current form, in the presence of the universe, in our current form, we will die. Because that atmosphere is not conducive to who we are. But when we go into the presence of God, he is conducive to who we are because he made us. He knows all about us. Amen. So I'm also reminded, I'm so excited about stuff like this. I'm also reminded of another song that I used to hear back in the day. And it was, "Who is like the Lord? Nobody." But you know what I heard? I heard Keith Sweat voice at this part. "Who is like the Lord? Nobody." That's what I heard instead. So whichever one you relate to, nobody, nobody. That's right, priest made it, because everybody just looking at me like, nobody is like the Lord. Nobody. So first of all, he exists. We just break it down, Hebrews 11, verse 6. First, he exists, not as a figment of our imagination, but as the creator of heaven and the earth who has revealed his invisible attributes. So if you don't know him, you can't trust him. Simple. It actually starts there. You can't trust in somebody you don't know, nothing about. So if I say Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sitkanu, what am I talking about? He's my healer, my provider, my protector, my banner, my sword and shield, the helmet of salvation, the feet of the gospel shod with truth. He's all of those. He's more than a bag of chips. He is the and then some. I can hear the preachers already tuning up them ears. He's the rose of Sharon, the great I am, the lily in the valley. He keeps on going on and on and on. He got so many attributes that are ascribed to him, and we don't know any of them. Oh, let me go ahead and go into a different culture. He's a good, good father. He's who you are. He's who you are. And I'm loved by you. He's who I am, who's who I am. He's perfect in all of his, perfect in all his ways. So who is he to you? Sugar daddy? Oh, excuse me, Zaddy with a Z? A silver fox of heaven? Rick, I'm going on all cylinders. This is where you're supposed to stay behind me and say, pull it, Doc, pull it. It's more than that. Man, he's not a mistress to us. We just go into the by and by, or something that we want to see on the internet while the wife is asleep. It's more than that. He is the go-to during the best of times and the worst of times, but you got to know that he is. So if you don't know him, you can't trust him. And that's where it all starts. That's what the scripture says. First, you got to know that he exists. So how do we know that he exists in my closing time? Well, you see it through his creation, his word, and through his son. This is all summed up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20 in the New Living Translation. And here it is. This is something that you need to see. If you want to get a tattoo, this will be a good one. 115, because all the words will be too expensive. All right. Verse 15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So if you are trying to know who God is, start right there. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Good God, Amali. Such as thrones, kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Wait a minute. So Brother Martin, Brother Jaden, this is the invisible world. And God made the invisible world. Just like he made the world that we can see and we can touch, we can hear that, we get that. But there's an invisible world that's also there. You ever wonder why people just do wrong when nobody telling them? Or people do right when nobody tells them? When no one's around? The real you is who you are when nobody's looking. So we see all of this. Everything was created, as it says in verse 16, latter part, was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, in verse 17, and he holds all creation together. He got the whole world in his hands. He got the little bitty babies making all that noise in his hands. He got the daddy and the mama in his hands. He got grandma and grandpa in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. But not only that, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So if you want to know who God is, look to Jesus. He is God. That is the gospel, who Jesus is and what he came to do. If you want to know what God is like, it's not like John Lennon, if God were one of us, do-do-do-do-do-do. Imagine that. No. That was one of the most atheistic, insulting songs ever. And he's still renowned to this day. But if he did not meet the maker that he denied in all those songs, in hell will he lift up his eyes. Right now. So if you want to know who God is, look to Jesus Christ. So we first have to know that he exists. Now, I'm not going to get into all the intellectual stuff because I've learned, especially when I went through my journey of apologetics over the last couple of years, that you cannot make people believe by getting their thought process right intellectually. Some people, watch this, are stupid intentionally. They intentionally deny the word of God. It won't make sense to them because they don't want it to make sense. Because if it makes sense, that means that they got to change their lifestyle. So now we have to move to the next step. It's that we know that he's real. Jesus is real. I know that he is real to me. We got that part, but now we got to believe. We got to believe. In verse 26, I know I skipped the scripture for this, but I'll put it this way. In verse 26, it says, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly he, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said, and he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord, my God, this is what Thomas said. Oh, let me pause right there, verse 28. Now, media team, if I ever do that in the future, just do a Google search on the words itself and it'll pull up the verse. Got it? Good. But this verse right here, I believe is a book of Mark, Matthew or so. But we see a couple of things here in verse 28. First of all, people always ask, when did Jesus say that he was God? He's just a man, just a prophet, yada, yada, right? But isn't it good when somebody speaks well of you? You know who you are in the mouth of others. You can pump yourself up and say, I'm the best since sliced bread. And Jesus said that. He said that he is God in the flesh. But Thomas, watch this, who is in a crisis of faith, all because he was died and was buried. And then that resurrection thing, Thomas had a little bit of problem with that. Because all of the disciples around him was like, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. And all the disciples were just in a big giant tension. They were excited, but Thomas was like, I got to see something first. I don't quite believe it just yet. I got to see something first. And Jesus was like, well, let me show something to you. Let me tell you something. So he began to show him his hands. And it says, Thomas, take your finger and put them inside of my hands and look at where the gaping holes are. This is where the stakes that were 9-inch in length were driven through. And take a look at my feet. I don't have Nikes on. I don't have, Jesus 100s on. Just put your finger through my feet. This is where the 9-inch stakes went through. The 9-inch nails went through. What about my side? Thomas, take your hand and put it in my side. That's where the Roman soldiers pierced my side. And then verse 28 says, my Lord, my God. In the Jewish culture, you don't just call anybody God. Lord, okay, you could play with that a little bit because they call kings and princes and people like that Lord. But God, something that could get you killed? No. That's one of the evidences that Jesus is God. It wasn't just regular. So we got Colossians as evidence, and now we also have the following scripture. And Jesus told them, you believe because you have seen me. Ooh, that's kind of awkward. Awkward. You believe because you have seen me. But notice what it says. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. I think this is in the book of John 20, verse 29. I think that's where it was. You get that? Verse 20. Jesus told him, telling y'all, you believe because you see me. You see the lights, the camera, the action. You got the pastor. You got people. You're feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. You see what the family is doing inside of the church. You see the lives are being changed. We see that we're doing things in downtown and all around the city and vaccines and feeding all these folk and giving away school supplies. That's good. But the verse goes on and says, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Are you in a situation that is so intense right now that you can't even see your way out? Believe God right there. Right there. That's where you should believe God at. Right there where you can't even see God. I can't feel him. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Can't go through it. So God's got to move it, right? That's exactly where he is. Right. That's where you got to believe God. Right there, at that moment in time, you got to believe God when you cannot see anything at all. No evidence, no money, nobody helping you, baby. Daddy ain't helping you, baby. Mama ain't helping you. The job ain't coming through. It looks like you got more bills than money. Believe God right there. Got to believe him right there. So we got to, number one, believe that he exists. That's number one. Number two, you got to believe him. Number three, he has rewards. He got rewards, y'all. These is what I call benefits. Benefits. I wish people would go to Jesus and be like, well, there's no reason to get married to you. There's no need to get married to you, Jesus. But Jesus is like, no, baby. No. If you marry me, it comes with benefits. Let's make this official. Oh, Lord, you mess with it. It's just a piece of paper. All right. What happens when you die? Lord, have you missed it? It just went point. What happens when you die? Well, Jesus, when you die, I got an inheritance. But not only that, you rose again. So I get more than inheritance. Since I'm married to you, as Christ is married to the church, I get benefits. I got eternal security. I have faith. I have somebody that I can talk to in the midnight hour. I got somebody that I can go to and I can go to no one else. I have somebody that I can tell my deepest, darkest secrets and not be exposed. That's the God that I serve. Got mental problems? Dial Jesus, 911. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He won't expose you. He'll help you. The only time you're exposed is when you come up under or away from the umbrella. That's when you get exposed. God is not like, let me go ahead and take my cape away from you. No, you got to run up from under him. When you go away from God, that's when you get exposed. When you cover up under God, his grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in your weakness. So we got to believe. But we also have rewards. Rewards are benefits, blessings, favor, abundance, life-changing transformation, and the mindset of a champion and not one walking in depression and defeat. I'm so tired. I know y'all are tired of me saying that, but it don't matter. I'm so tired and weary. I'm just an empty pitcher before a full fountain. Help me, Lord, by and by. Oh, by and by. Same place. No progress. It sounds great. But do you believe that you have benefits in him? Benefits. I don't think they get it, preacher. Well, let me go ahead and give it to you in the word. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 6 gives you the benefits package, if you were wondering where it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we got a precursor here. A preamble here, a prerequisite here, a prerequisite, I said that wrong. Prerequisite, Lady Martin, I heard her say that already. You said it wrong, Andre, I know. A prerequisite. The prerequisite, I hope you get the word right here, is a praise. You got that? Praise the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, all the pain, all the hurt, all the struggling, all of the issues, all the complaints, all of the turmoil, all the trials, all the tests, all of that stuff that is within me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I had to practice that. That takes practice. Our flesh does not like that. Our flesh does not like that at all. I practiced it. I was going through hard times. Back in 2010, I remember it. We saw a whole bunch of doves as we were coming back from vacation. Lady Martin doesn't like doves to this day. That was really a when doves would cry. And I thought the doves meant a symbol of peace and all this other stuff. And God was sending me a sign through a dove. So there was doves everywhere, right there on the shores of the Virgin Islands. And we saw those things. I was like, ooh, this is going to be blessings. And right when I got to the house, all hell just broke loose. But I received that word because doves represents faithfulness and prosperity and peace. It is what was released by Noah during the storm, to let him know that the storm was over. The raven came back. But the dove did not come back. I think I got that reverse around. The raven didn't come back because there was no land, so the storm wasn't over with. But the dove did come back with a nice little fig leaf in its mouth, letting you know that there is dry land. So yeah, you got to go through the storm now. The storm didn't cease because the dove was there. The dove is just a sign that, hey, you can make it through this particular situation if you believe. There's benefits. So you always, watch this, if you want to have good faith, Brother Mike in the back, Brother Andre, everybody else look at your mobile phones, put right in your phone right now, put hashtag, I got benefits. I got benefits. I got benefits when he died. I wasn't left alone. I was put in his will. I have all those things together. So I got something that's, but watch this. It is unlocked with a praise first. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, when things are going wrong. And I remember during that time, I started praising God with tears in my eyes, with a growl in my stomach. Have you ever been in pain and praised at the same time? Ladies, when you were having your children, for those of you that had children, did you say, oh, bless God? Some of y'all are like, H, no, I ain't do say that. But in order to unlock another level of faith, that is exactly what you got to do. When it's so intense, when it don't feel good, bless God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Because when David was writing this, this is when he was being chased by Saul. This wasn't a good time. This wasn't a blessed time. But he sought refuge in the Lord at that moment in time. And he remembered his benefits. When I'm in trouble, I go look at my benefits. I look at the 401k. Oh, I got some savings. Mm-hmm, this is good. It's growing. My benefits are growing. But a 401k and all those different types of things doesn't grow unless you invest in it. Oh, Lord, I'll be letting all these words out. Brother Al, play something. Just do something. Play. The cat came back the very next day. Something. So nothing doesn't grow unless you invest in it. Not at all. It says in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, got to move quickly here, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Oh, I went too fast. Let me read the. See, when I get hired to a new place, I read all the benefits package. Because I believe, just like it's a privilege for me to work there, I also believe that it's a privilege for you to get me. Because I believe that I am bringing something to your table that's going to help you to generate more money. That's what I believe. And so as a result of that, I am going to look inside of the benefits package, and I'm going to see everything. Oh, you guys have a 4% match. Well, good God almighty. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to invest in it. In other words, when I invest something, I'm going to get the expectation. I have the expectation that I am going to get something back. So when you come to the house of the Lord, expect that you're going to get something back that will increase your faith to another level. That's what it is. Who redeems your life from the pit? Are you in a bottomless pit right now? Who heals your diseases? Are you sick in your body? Who forgives all your iniquities? Are you doing a whole bunch of bad stuff several days in a row? He got that too. How about who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? He covers all of that. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like ease? You feel old and broke down, busted, and disgusted. God says he will renew you. He'll help you to fly high. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He'll help you to fly high. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So we also have justice in there. So all of my black people that like to go to those multicultural churches never talk about justice. Let me tell you something. Don't get caught up with the prestige of these particular places when they do not address the needs of the people that look like you. It's popular. We got to believe. We got to know that he exists. We understand that there are rewards. But then, come on, Al, you got to seek him. What I like this. Hey, don't play soft music. I want you to play something radical right now. Okay. You ready? You got to have, not piano, but you got to use like a bass. Use a top keyboard. Yes. You know the very beginning of Here I Go? So you looking for God? Here I go. I'm coming straight for you. Get that praise up out of your mouth. You better say something to God right now at this moment in time. You just can't just sit there and just wait for things to happen. You got to make it happen. I'm done. It's over with me. Oh, you like that? Go ahead and keep on playing the air. With the bass. We trying to be unsaved for about 30 minutes. Do you get it? Do you get it, people of God? This is what this is all about. Having true faith. Seeking God. Looking for him. Here I go. I'm coming straight for your throat. Not your throat, the devil's throat. You trying to choke that thing off. You trying to squeeze and a squeeze. Remember that from Nacho Libre? I'm trying to squeeze the devil's throat until he has no life in it, because God is the one who gave me all life and godliness. Mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here I go.
Devil, I'm coming straight for your throat. In the name of Jesus, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord of God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Whatever situation that you're in, you're looking for somebody that's hard, somebody that's rough, brown, and rugged, and tough. God says there's nothing too hard for me. So if you need something, if you need a word right now, if you need some answers, read the word of God. The Bible is a book that is intended to produce faith in you. Hear the word. You hear that? Hear the word. Put the word into practice. Surround yourself with people of faith. Say it like you mean it. Say his name. Say his name. While no one else is around, you say, baby, God, I love you. But you don't need to play no games. Say his name. Say his name. Say his name. Say it like you mean it. Trust God in the pain. Trust God in the circumstances. Trust God no matter what you're going through. Trust God when you got little money. Trust God when you got great money. Trust God when she's acting right. Trust God when he's not acting right. Trust God when he's acting right. Trust God when she's not acting right. Trust God when you got a whole bunch of people, when you got few, when you got large, when you don't have enough. Trust God through and through. Trust God through the pain. I'm trying to push it. I'm trying to burn something. I know that I don't want to say anything good right now, but bless the Lord. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. Trust God. Here I go. Coming straight for your throat, devil. And I believe him. In Jesus' name. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. Here I go. I've always wanted to say that in church. Y'all got the word? Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord this morning. That's a word. That's a word for me too. I know that we live in a TikTok generation. Dum dum dee da dum dum da dum. And then move everything else. Everything's moving really fast. You can't. There's no time to focus on anything. But you need to focus on God. Don't let the world distract you. And I have nothing against platforms or social medias, but sometimes those things are big distractions. They keep you from focusing on the task at hand, the object of our faith, which is God. So, Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence. I thank you, Lord God, for your power. I thank you, Lord God, for teaching us to go from faith to faith, from blessings to blessings, from favor to favor, from grace to grace. Let us go deeper in you. Let us go higher in you, Lord God. We believe you. We trust in you. And even if we have little faith, Lord God, we know that you won't leave us. You'll stretch your hand out immediately as we are trying to walk on water. You'll lift us up and keep us from sinking. We thank you, Lord God, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. You better clap like you got some faith. You better clap like things are going to get better. You better clap like somebody's going to answer you and answer that application on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or next week. You better clap. You better praise God. That's how you unlock your benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Well, I hope and pray that you are encouraged this morning. And I hope and pray that your spirits are lifted. The best is yet to come. This is what God wants us to have. To go from faith to faith and glory to God, glory. We're not going to get off course. We're not going to get deep in the weeds. Not going to talk about Trump or Biden or none of that other stuff. It's been a big distraction. We're going to keep our focus on God and our faith in him. So, Sister Amanda, just like we, just hearing that word a little bit unlocks those things. What happens if we focus our trust on him going forward? expecting the unanswered prayers of our heart to manifest. Things that you prayed about and forgot. Because it's been so long. But I want to do just like Tasha Cobb says, I want to put a praise on it. Got to put a praise on it first. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and then forget all, not all his benefits. You got to put a praise on it first. I think that we should do that as we get on out of here. I think it's time for Darius to do a quick little praise. Just, you can just go ahead and praise. Come on, everybody. Let's start praising the Lord right now. Praise God right now. Praise God right now. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Teach my hands to war. Praise is a weapon. Praise God. If you don't know what to say, maybe you ain't been praising and maybe your blessings have been locked up. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord God, I praise you. Lord God, I worship you. Lord God, I lift you up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you even though I'm hurting in my body. Lord God, I thank you even though I have bills that are mounted up like a mountain. Lord God, I praise you even though my children are not acting right. Lord God, I praise you when they are acting right. Lord God, I praise you. It seems like the job is acting crazy and the boss man is acting all crazy. Praise God. People around me are trying to pull me down. The haters are getting close. But Lord God, I praise you. My business is not running like how I thought it was going to run. But Lord God, I praise you. I lift you up, Lord God. You are the one of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough right now, people of God. Praise him. Your flesh says, oh, I feel awkward. Your flesh says, oh, my breath don't smell right. Your flesh says, there ain't enough people in here. Your flesh says, there's too much people, or there's, I'm not on tune, I don't have the right words. Just say, God, I thank you. You can say that right now. God, I thank you. Oh, 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 oh. Come on, praise team. You need to go ahead and get a praise for this. Come on up to the stage. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Oh, 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 hey! Oh, 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 oh. Now let's go ahead. 1, 2, 3. Oh, oh, you got it? You better play that thing. I wanted to send y'all out on a praise this morning. Happy Sunday to you. Go Chiefs. Go Bucks. But most of all, go God. Go God.
you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. We lift you up, God, and we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We pray your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.